How about we take our Bibles out and turn to Proverbs chapter 1? Proverbs 1. If you forgot to check your child in, please follow them downstairs so that you can do so at this time. Proverbs chapter 1, we're going to begin here in verse 10, and I'm going to just start this time by just reading the passage, reading the text together. I love to still hear the pages rustling. You know, that doesn't always happen. A lot of times it's boot-a-doop, you know, as you hear that thing booting up. Nothing wrong with that, but I love the pages. Proverbs 1, beginning in verse 10. You follow along. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. And if they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood, and let's ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole, as those who go down to the pit. We will find all kinds of precious wealth. We will fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us. We shall all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. Indeed, it is useless to spread the baited net in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. And so are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. It takes away the life of its possessors. When I read a text like that, I'm immediately transported to an incident that happened to me in my life. It's been a while now, but I was still in the military, and I'd gone to an evening Bible study, and I was driving home. And as I'm going along the road, I come up to a stoplight, and I'm stopped there, and a big Suburban pulls up next to me. And as the light turns green, the cars in front of me begin to start rolling forward. The doors open in this Suburban, and out jumps these two women. And they begin beating on the door, and they grab it and open it because I didn't have it locked. And they jump in the car with me. And they say, go, 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 please go. And so I'm a little taken off guard. The one in front, she looks to be about maybe 6 months pregnant. The one in the back looks to be about 17. And I figured they're desperate because the back seat had nothing but car seats. And so she jumped in one of them and is all wrenched in there as we're going along. And then they explained their plight. They said, we were hitchhiking. This guy gave us a ride. Then he starts taking us all these places, and we knew he was taking us where we didn't want to go. We just want to go home. Okay, well, let's start getting you there. And yet, I'm not a superhero, but my spidey sense was tingling because I smelled alcohol. Okay, let's keep going. So I said, where do you live? So I began driving and just talking with him a little bit. And I noticed as we're going, the neighborhood just keeps going down, down, down. There's fewer and fewer lights. And we finally wind up on the street, and they say, this is our street. And we go down the end of the street, and they said, here's the driveway. And so I look at the driveway, and it's really kind of this thing that goes between two houses. It converts to an alley, and there's a house behind all this. And they said, that's our house. And right there, I said to myself, I'm not going down that road. So I just decided I'm going to stop here. And my plan was, I'm going to tell them, you get out, I'll watch, I'll make sure you get in, and we'll be done. And so I stop. Before I can do that, I notice somebody walking in front of my car, and then there's this flicking bick lighter, just going like this, flick, flick, flick. And instantly my spidey sense went off, and I said, that is a signal. And man, I converted from Spider-Man to Jason Bourne right there. I revved that engine up, put it in reverse while the engine's going in high gear, and I took that four cylinders like you would not believe. And going backwards, I probably did one of those moves where you spin it all the way around and then you convert into drive and go, and I am out of there. And I pull into this Quick Mart, and I slammed on the brakes, and I just looked over and I said, get out. And right there, the woman in the front leaned over, and she hits my horn. And as I push her away, she jumps out. There's a car leaving the Quick Mart. They jump in the car, and they drive off. And I thought, I know what's going on now. Didn't have cell phones back then. So I go home, and I'm telling Karen, and we're like, we got to call the police. So I call the police, and as I'm describing this situation, they said, wait, wait, wait. Was it a dark-haired woman pregnant? Yeah. And then another girl, blonde hair, looks to be about 17, 18 years of age. Yeah, that's them. We know about them. Well, what do you know? Well, they're in collusion with a gang. And they feign that they need help. They take you to a destination. These people will jump you. They will pull you out of the car. They will beat you unconscious. And then they steal all you own and your car and leave you there. And I thought, wow. Then I started shaking after I found out all that. And whenever I come to this passage, I have to admit, this is one of the first things that crosses my mind. Those kinds of events. By the way, if anybody ever just jumps in your car, just go to the police and let them deal with it. A little lesson I learned in all this. I want to suggest to you this morning, though, that this passage goes bigger than something that seems as catastrophic or as wild as what I just described. That actually what this passage is talking about are things that you and I will be tempted to do ourselves. Maybe not on this scale, but it works its way out in various ways in our lives. I've thought many times about those two women. Whatever happened to them? Are they even alive? I don't know, but I know that there's consequences that go with that. And this text is teaching us that there are consequences when we engage in this kind of a behavior, even if it's a smaller scale. When we seek to shortcut the path to happiness or something we want to acquire, and we're willing to do so at the expense of someone else. That's what's dangerous, and that's what the proverb is addressing. Will I respond to that, or will I respond in faith to what God has told me to do and how I'm to live? As we're going through this summer, you know, we're going to be looking at various proverbs throughout it. And each week I've kind of given you a Hebrew word, just kind of something to make it fun, but also kind of a memory jog as we've gone along. And so a few weeks ago as we began, you might remember the first word I gave you was chokmah. Or really, it needs to sound like you're trying to hock something up. Chokmah. Fun to say. But this is really the word for wisdom. You know, that you are going to skillfully apply things that God has given to you, and you're going to put them into your life. And then next, we looked at another word. It was Shema. And we're not talking about the Shema of Deuteronomy. We just mean the word Shema, which means hear, but you're not just hearing with your ears. You're hearing with the intention that you're going to obey what you're hearing. And this week I've got a new word for you, and it doesn't sound like the way it's spelled. This week the word is avah, and it means to consent to something, to be willing to do something, avah. If you want to have a word for the word not, N-O-T, you put A-L, all. And so all avah means I'm not willing or I'm not consenting. And that's kind of what this context is addressing. What to do when you're invited to get ahead in life, but at someone else's expense, and the command is, al avah, don't do it. Now, all this, you know, as it gets unfolded here in our text, we find it comes as a call for wisdom. There's an invitation, then there's a warning, and then there is another call in verse 15, then an illustration, and finally the same warning given again. But the ultimate warning is given there in verse 10. My son, if sinners are going to entice you, do not consent. Al avah. If you are considering giving your shema, your attention with your ear and attention with the intention of doing what's wrong, he says, don't do it. Don't get involved in a scheme that's going to give you success, but it's going to do so at the expense of others. You got a choice. You can avah, go willingly. Al avah, not go there. The wisdom here is don't do it. Don't do it when you have that kind of an invitation. Well, why not? I find it helpful. I mean, if the scriptures tell us something, then the bottom line is that's what we do. I've always found it helpful when I know the why, not just the what. Why would scripture tell us to operate this way? Remember something about how Proverbs 1 began. It began by saying that this book is going to give you chokmah, that wisdom. It's not giving you Confucius his sayings. It's not going to give you Sun Tzu and his sayings. It's giving you what God has said. But what God speaks to us about, his wisdom always comes in light of his character. Always in light of who he is. And the character is explained to us way back in verse 3 of the same chapter. You can go back and look. You see the words righteousness and justice and equity. Those are traits of God. So it's not wise for you and I to seek to get ahead in life, to try to live well, if it means we're going to compromise righteousness, if it means we're going to compromise justice. it won't work. If God is this creator of this world, and he has created it in light of his person and his character, even though there's a fallenness, even though there's sin, we are wise to operate in that world and in that system in the light of who he is, and in light of his character, in accordance with it. And when we're invited to do otherwise, Solomon gives us a warning there in verse 15. My son, don't walk in the way with them. You keep your feet from their path. Now, I got to give an explanation about this. If you'll notice in that text, the call is not, never be around people who are like that. That's not it at all. If it did, then friends, Jesus would have been a sinner. Because you remember what the big charge was against him? He hangs out with sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes. And Jesus was around that kind of a person. Well, the New Testament helps us a little bit on understanding this. Where do we go with it? We see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Apostle Paul is writing to the church, and he says, I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. Well, I didn't at all mean with the immoral people of this world, or with the covetous and the swindlers, or with idolaters, for then you would have to go out of the world. You're just not going to find that here on planet Earth. I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he is an immoral person. And the point here, we're going to be around those who don't do what's right. That's not the issue. The issue is, when it comes to being around those people, are you going to shema what they have to say, and then are you going to ava, be the kind of person who does what they say? That is the issue. You know, when you were growing up and your mother told you, you don't get to hang out with Butch, and you wondered why, he's so cool, I like him so much. Her motive wasn't so much about Butch. Her motive was this. She knew you were being influenced. That you were going from Shema to now Ava. You were consenting and you were willing to do the things that he did. Now, when Christians aren't doing right, as this text was addressing, well, that we may very well have to separate. That is another sermon for another day. I'm not addressing that right now. But we don't need to look at this verse and say, well, I can't ever be around anybody who operates like this. I can't ever do that. Because if you go to work, you are. There are people who are going to swindle. They're going to cheat. They're going to do these things. You yourself will be tempted to do this. The issue, though, is their influence. Are you going to be influenced by them? You don't ava. You don't consent to what's wrong. Solomon then gives us a little observation that he sees from nature. And you heard that explained. We all get this. If you got a guy standing out in his backyard and he's got this big net and birds are coming by and he's trying to catch them. You know, birds are smart. They know, I ain't going near that guy. You know, he's out there waving and throwing stuff, and we're going to keep our distance. We know, stay away from there and we'll be safe. And Solomon's saying it's the same thing. We got a much bigger brain than a bird, so don't be a bird brain. Be better than that. You know, stay away from that kind of danger. But if you aren't alert to this kind of trap, then you stand to be caught in it yourself. Verse 19. So are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. It takes away the life of its possessors. And when you allow yourself to participate, to become complicit in the things that are wrong and going wrong, there's a price that comes out. You might not feel it immediately, but there is a price to come out. So I'll boil all this text down to a basic statement. It's this. Those who seek a shortcut to life and wealth are going to find their life and wealth cut short. That's the principle that we find. When our missionary to Mexico, Mike Richardson, came here not that long ago, we had a luncheon for him, and he was telling us a story of something that went on in his life. He was driving his truck one day, going from point A to point B, and as he's going along, this other vehicle comes up and pulls him over, and it's the drug cartel. So now he's nervous. Why do they want me over? So they pull him over. He pulls over. He begins to comply. What do you need? What do you want? And as time's going on, he finally figures out what they're trying to figure out. They thought he was part of a competing drug cartel, and they didn't want those drugs on their turf. But then they figure out this is just a missionary. He is no threat to us. And so he's outside of the car at this point, been talking with him. And so they finally say, okay, forget it. Go on. So they turn and walk away. And so he stopped right there and said, no, wait a minute. You want to talk to me? I want to talk to you too. And they turn around and they're like, what? And then he begins to share the gospel with them. And as he's doing so, the leader of this group looks at him and goes, are you a Christian? And right then Mike goes, I might have messed up because I don't know what the right answer is that this guy's looking for. So he went with the truth. He said, yes, I am. And the guy looked at him and said, my wife is a Christian. And so Mike says, you know, it could be that your wife is praying for you and God has brought this event right now in your path to call you out of this so that you can have that relationship with God. And the guy looked at him and says, you don't understand something. In this business, anybody can get in. Nobody gets out. And then his phone rang. He answered it. They turned and got in the car, and they drove away. This guy sought the shortcut to wealth. And what he found was it was his freedom that was cut short. He did not have it anymore. Now, some of you are listening to this so far, and you go, Jack, that's all well and good, and those are some kind of incredible stories, but this is Blue Ridge, and that doesn't really happen here, and that's not really something that we're struggling with. The principle of allowing the crowd to have Shema with you, to then get your Ava, your consent, it happens all the time. It is not just for highway bandits. Not at all. We've all heard of the higher end scale of this when corporate executives decide they're going to, you know, use funds illegally to get themselves rich, and they'll do it at the expense and the sake of shareholders. That's this principle at work. We've all heard of pastors who embezzled funds from the giving of their church to they get ahead to take advantage of others who might give. But it's not just there. Kids, you face this as well. Whenever you have a friend who steals something, or, you know, they do something that's wrong, maybe even illegal, and their comment is, don't tell anybody. You know what they're doing? I want you complicit with me. Because if I get you in this with me, now you're trapped. You're in it as well. And so when that happens, and their actions are not consistent with righteousness and justice, are you going to ava? Are you going to consent? Are you going to al-ava, not consent? Some of you are going to go into the college, you're going to go into the military, and you are going to find a lot of people like to use alcohol to an excessive degree. They like to abuse alcohol, even among Christians. Or you're going to encounter people, and even Christians, who like to use language that Ephesians 4 does not condone. That they're going to let unwholesome words be part of their language. And the pressure and the call for you is throw in your lot with us. You speak like us, you drink like us, you do like us, so that you can be one of us. And it's just going to continue and continue. And you're at a crossroads. Are you going to ava? Are you going to consent? Are you going to al-ava? Are you not going to consent? True story of a friend of mine. Marine F-18 pilot. Started at a new squadron. They have an all-officers meeting. He goes to the meeting. And as they get certain business done at another later in the meeting, they bring in all these strippers. And the strippers start doing their thing. My friend's a Christian. He's also married. And he said, you know, I can't do this. It's not honoring to God. It's not honoring to my wife. And frankly, it's not even honoring to these women, even though they're consenting to do this right now. And he got up and he walked out of the all-officers meeting. And then he got a call from the skipper, the commanding officer, a couple days later. And he said, I noticed that you left the party. And you need to know something. When you leave something like that, you are fracturing the sense of community and the oneness and the unity and the cohesiveness that I am trying to build. Don't you ever do that again. Are you going to ava? Are you going to al-ava? Your company is doing something illegal with, you know, to whatever degree you know about it. There's lying, there's falsification of records, something. And it's going to affect the shareholders. It's going to initially maybe boost the company You know, so it's going to look good initially, and you're called in to go along with it. Are you going to avah? Are you going to consent? Or are you going to alavah? And are you going to blow the whistle? By the way, we've had people in this church who've had to do that. They've had to make that decision. Someone at your work has an idea, and it's very successful, and you are the one who got the credit for it. And everyone's praising you. This is beneficial to you. This is good for your career. But you didn't come up with it. Are you going to give credit where credit's due? Or are you going to take the credit yourself? If so, you've filled your purse at their expense. And so are you going to avah? Or are you going to al-avah, not consent, and make sure righteousness and justice happens in this situation? I'm going to keep going. Young people, guys, you got a girlfriend? Ladies, you got a boyfriend? You go out on a date? One of them says, if you really love me, you will completely give yourself to me. And you know what I mean when I say that. That's not right. Not according to the scriptures. That's not righteousness. In many ways, what it is saying, give me something and make sure I don't have to give you any commitment in return. It's a form of theft. So what are you going to do? Are you going to avah, consent, and try to keep the relationship because you think you might lose it? Or are you going to al-avah, not consent, and risk losing this relationship? When we allow ourselves to become complicit in that which is wrong and that which is sinful, if we're willing to get ahead by taking the shortcut, especially at the expense of others, so that we can get ahead, so that I can actually keep my job, so that I can make more money, so that we can just keep the peace in this situation, so that I can hang on to that relationship, you and I, we stand to risk, to lose a whole lot more than we realize. In fact, the very thing that we allow to cause us to act, not in faith, but we're acting now in fear or in collusion with others. When we put our faith in that particular thing or that effort to give us what we think we need, because we're God's children, God usually will just blow that up on us because he loves us. He won't let us go. In fact, it's a mark that you're not a Christian when you don't get caught. God disciplines those whom he loves. And he wants us to live in faith and not in the feelings of our own insecurity and in our fears. The psalmist made a great point in 18:26. He said this, speaking of God, to the pure you show yourself pure, and with the crooked you show yourself twisted. You turn things around. They have their plans and you've thwarted their plans and turned it back on top of them. All kinds of biblical examples on this. Y'all remember Haman in the book of Esther? He sought to get all the people to kill all the Jews, kill Mordecai in particular, had a gallows built so he could hang Mordecai, and God showed himself twisted. It turned the whole plan back on Haman so that he himself was hung on his own gallows. And all the people that came out to kill and eradicate the Jews, the king gave the Jews permission to defend themselves. And in doing so, they destroyed all the people that went after the Jews. And God turned it around. And that's what he can do. And faith is sometimes going to have you do what's harder to do. It's a step of just trusting God. But it doesn't look like things are going to be successful. They won't necessarily bring you an immediate satisfaction of the thing you desire. And you're just going to have to trust God and do what's right. You might even be punished for doing what's right. Can I give you a great example, though, of how this should be lived out? It's a guy, his name is Jesus. You probably heard of him. And there was a day in which the devil was tempting him. And this is what the devil said. Jesus, look out there. Look at all these kingdoms that are out there. Guess what? I own them. I run them. But if you'll throw in your lot with me, bow down and worship, we shall all have one purse. I will give them to you. And you know what's a little benefit in all this? No cross. You get all these towns, all this world, and you can bypass the cross and not have to go through suffering. And you can be king of this world through a shortcut. But if Jesus had done that, he would have cut short God's plan. And you and I would not be saved. Aren't you glad he held to this kind of wisdom? Because he always sought to ava the will of God. He did the hard thing, enduring that cross. So that when we fail to ava to the will of God, we fail to consent, we are the people who can actually be restored unto him because of his faithfulness. That's the good news of the gospel, is that Jesus Christ himself would ava God's will so that we then could have his spirit to abide in us so that day by day and moment by moment we can ava to the will of God because we have the power of the Spirit of God living in us and abiding in us. That's what God has given to us. It's a great thing. I was expecting a huge amen, but I'll just accept that that was probably a quiet one. Here's the dilemma, though. Some of you right now, we're talking about this. Maybe God is speaking to you. He's convicting you on this matter. What do you do if you have consented? You did try to get ahead at someone else's expense and taking advantage of others, or maybe you were just listening to others' counsel over God's word. Let me just walk you through some things as a believer that we do. The first thing you got to do, repent. You turn. By repentance, I mean you're going to agree with God about your sin. That's 1 John 4:9. If we confess our sins, then what? He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. You confess, you agree with God that it's sin, and now receive the forgiveness. You don't have to keep taking the cat of nine tails and whipping your own back. Jesus got that on his back, so you don't have to. Receive his forgiveness. But now there's one more thing you got to do, and that is change directions. You don't keep going down this path. You don't go, well, I received forgiveness, now I'll just keep going the same direction. That's idiocy. That's lunacy. We turn and we go the opposite direction, according to the counsel, the word of God, the wisdom that God has given us. And then if you've done something that actually takes advantage or you're going to get ahead at someone else's expense, there's another action. You go be reconciled to them. And that means that you want to try to seek to make things right with them. You try to make it right with them. Chokmah. This is what skillfully applied wisdom is going to look like. Seeks to live in light of the character of God and in his righteousness and justice for others. It is not going to be the fast track, people. Go ahead and accept that now. It's not necessarily going to be the fast track to your success. It will always be an act of faith that God's ways, no matter what the result, will always be the best. And we cannot let fear, we cannot let acceptance of others, we can't let the lure of getting rich quick be what drives our actions. Because a shortcut to finding those things in life may very well cut us short of the things that we're ultimately seeking to find. I wanted to end on something that has a little bit more of a positive note. So, some of you, when you hear this, here's your dilemma. Gosh, that means everywhere I go, I got to be the goody two-shoes. I'm just going to be the voice of conviction. Everyone's going to roll their eyes at me because I'm the one who's always doing the right thing. Well, let me give you a little story. Maybe that'll help you with this. Going back to my flight school days, I had two of my best friends. One was a Marine pilot and the other was a Navy guy. The Marine was a Christian. The Navy guy was not a believer, not a follower of Christ. They had gone to Key West to go do their carrier qualifications, and they had just finished, and they had both been successful. So they're on cloud nine. So they got the evening off, and so they're just walking down the streets of Key West, and they're going to different places and doing different things. And lo and behold, they tend to walk up, and they get right up next to this strip club. Kind of a common theme today with these pilots, isn't it? Watch out, Tim. Now, they go up here, and they decide, hey, let's all go into the strip club. And my friend who's a Marine pilot, who's a Christian, he said, no thanks. And he just turns and he walks off. And all the rest go in. And they were married. Well, my other friend goes in, and as he's there, and he's thinking about what the Marine did, he was so convicted that he got up He walked out. And they didn't have cell phones in this day. He went to the nearest payphone he could find, and he called his wife, and he confessed, and he asked her forgiveness right there. Why did it happen? He saw chokmah being lived out in wisdom. When an individual, shema, heard the voice of the Lord, and he avad, he consented to doing what God said is the right way to go. You don't know what your impact might be. If you're afraid of being the goody two-shoes, you have the best little two-shoes we got going out there. And you trust God to take them and to use them. Stand with me, would you, as we close in prayer. Lord, we do want to pray because I know myself, we all have feet of clay. It's easy to talk about this right up until I feel the pressure that of saying no, of not going along with the crowd, of blowing the whistle and how I'll be perceived when I do that. And Lord, we need your help. We need your help and your wisdom to know what's right and to do what's right. We don't want to run away from the world. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we can go in the world and emerge victorious. We're holding on to that. But Lord, we need your help. So we pray that you would do so. And if there's an individual this morning that's struggling with this, they don't know what to do, give them your wisdom so that they can stand firm. And give them the support of the brotherhood here in this church. And God, it's good for us to stop and just acknowledge that we are not a Christian because we do this. We are a Christian because we have trusted in Jesus Christ, the one who perfectly avod, who followed you and did your will and consented to it completely. That our problem is our sin needs to be taken away. And if there is even a single person this morning who has never done that, I pray that this morning they would change. That their heart would be open to see what Jesus has done for them, how much he loves them, and how much he wants to walk with them in this life. So would you do that in their lives and in their heart as well? And Father, we'll pray all of this in the name of Jesus, the one who transforms and who changes and who empowers us by his Spirit. Amen.